There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go.
I'm Lee Ross, Associate Project Director for Zombies in Spaceland, Call of Duty Infinite Warfare.
Yeah, we got to play it, Paris. It was a lot of fun, man. And now, tell us a little bit about the game, like how that's different now than the previous one.
Well, I think the key difference is we're taking things over the top in a comical fashion. Mm-hmm. We wanted to take ourselves a lot less serious with this endeavor. Historically, there's a very... very strong narrative. And while we keep that narrative here in our game, mm-hmm. We want it to just be really crazy and funny. So you'll see things like exploding clowns. You'll see David Hasselhoff playing a park DJ. And you'll see some really interesting 80s stereotypes like nerds and jocks and rappers and valley girls.
Because that's the thing with me. I've never played zombie mode. I've known of it, obviously, throughout the Call of Duty series over the last decade or so. But this was my first time sitting down getting a chance to play it. And I got a big kind of Killing Floor type of vibe. And also, like you said, being on the lighter side, it felt like something from Scooby-Doo, especially with the characters or anything. So what went into the inspiration for the design that you're doing with this year's version?
I love that you said Scooby-Doo, because that is one of our inspirations. Saturday morning cartoons, man. Afternoon cartoons. You know, I'm a child of the 80s. And I think what we wanted to do was kind of pull from the pop culture references from the 80s, the really strong things, like whether it's the movies, the music, the advent of music videos, the crazy hairstyles from the flock of seagulls to the, you know, the Mohawks and mm-hmm. all the just trippy colors that people wore during that time period. All of that was an inspiration for wanting to do something a little bit more wacky. And I think the 80s just is chock full of that stuff. And so once we kind of paired that up with the theme park, it just seemed like a match made in heaven for us.
And I noticed there was a couple new things there. Fortune cards, souvenir cards, souvenir coins. Tell us how that works in the game.
Yeah, so fate and fortune cards are something new that we're bringing to the table. And what they are is they're cards that you can set up in the front end before you actually go into Zombies in Spaceland. Now, mm-hmm. you can have up to 5 of these cards. At the beginning, we'll start players off with 3 just so they can kind of learn the system. But mm-hmm. as you progress and your XP level goes up, you'll be able to take 5 of them. You'll gain a bunch of these cards throughout your experience of playing Zombies in Spaceland. So when you set these 5 cards up, it's kind of figuring out what you're trying to achieve, how you're trying to help the rest of the team, what your overall goal is, and what your play style is. So once you're in game, just doing like basic things like shooting and killing zombies, using in-game cash to unlock doors, boarding up windows, things like that. They'll fill up your fate and fortune meter. And once it's full, you'll be able to choose from one of those 5 cards at any time and then activate it. Now, what they can do for you is they can give you something that's just beneficial for you at the moment. So let's say you want some more heavy firepower. You can spawn a railgun in your hands immediately. But then let's say you're standing side by side with some teammates. You can spawn the lifelink fortune card. And what that'll do for you is, if we're close enough to each other, we'll have a link that affords us an additional 25% health buff as long as we stay next to each other. So these are really about giving players a choice on how they want to play. But it's also the ability to sort of bring the difficulty level back down to normal. Zombies can be a very challenging experience depending on how far you get, depending on what wave you're in, because every wave, you know, zombies get stronger and stronger. This is kind of a way to sort of reset that and give players the choice on how they want to do it.
glad you brought up the wave progression, because we got to wave 9 when we were playing earlier, and we noticed, I'd say around about wave 7 or so, we kind of started looking at each other going, what are we supposed to do next? So what's the ultimate goal as you're just going? Is it just to see how far you can get into the game without dying, or is there any type of end game to this?
Well, it's different for different players. There are some players who just want to play the wave-based progression. They just want to see how far they can get. I mean, there's players out there that are getting to wave 200, wow, for instance, right?
Okay.
And so we want to have that experience there for them where things just get super chaotic and it's just hordes and hordes of zombies just running at you fiercely with, you know, tons of health. You're just going crazy trying to take them down. But there's also that core that really loves Easter eggs. And we have a ton of Easter eggs hidden within Zombies in Spaceland that they not only help further the story for Zombies in Spaceland, but they also give the sort of that, they scratch that itch that players have for like finding that one piece of the puzzle and not really knowing what it goes to. And they're like, they're scrubbing the internet. They're sort of coming together as a community to kind of figure out what these things are. We wanted to make sure that experience was there for them too. So there's a little bit of something for everybody. There's something there that just lets you kind of scratch the surface of the basic core mechanics. But then there's also that sort of deeper meta game that will help you unfold the story and kind of tell you why you're in Spaceland, why David Hasselhoff is in Spaceland, and ultimately maybe how you can get out of Spaceland.
And how was the recording with everybody that's involved with this project? How many hours of audio you think they recorded?
Oh man, so much. We recorded thousands and thousands of lines of dialogue. Mm-hmm. Each of the characters has a lot to say in Zombies in Spaceland, and I think that's important for our narrative, but also because we're taking a very comical approach. You know, all of the actors that we cast for this, they all have a comedic background. You know, we have people who are, you know, SNL veterans with Jay Farrow and Sasheer Zamata. We also have Ike Barinholtz, who you've seen most recently in Suicide Squad. And then, of course, Seth Green, who's playing our nerd. These are all people who their delivery on dialogue is it's comical in the sense of they already know what the character's supposed to be like. Mm-hmm. And they bring that sort of special flavor to that role. So it's really interesting watching them sort of ad-lib some lines for us. So we know when we go into a recording session, hey, this is exactly what we want you to say. But then they say it in a certain way where you go, wait a second, that's even better than what we wanted. So mm-hmm. It's that sort of that flavor, that personality that they're bringing to the table that I think is really special.
Yep. Well, very quick. When we were, I think, was it wave 9 or 8? I noticed these random clowns just popped up, multiple, and they just blows up like out of nowhere. How difficult the game gets after level wave 9?
The game can get insanely difficult. But like I said, there's a lot of stuff at the player's disposal that can help bring that difficulty back down, whether it's the fate and fortune cards. You mentioned the souvenir coins earlier. So the souvenir coins, there's a souvenir station supplanted all around the park. You can get to different ones. And if you notice, those souvenir coins all had different symbols on them. So depending on how you put them into the machine, you can craft different items. And so you can get things like the boombox trap, as an example. And the boombox trap, when you set it down, you know, we want to do things big 1980 style. So you're going to have zombies that start breakdancing, popping and locking. And then the boombox has C4 on it. It explodes mm-hmm. and takes all those zombies out in that place.
And you could also swap coins too, because that's another thing that I noticed. But I think who was it that picked up like infinite ammo or like infinite health and stuff like that, right? That helped out a lot for us too when we were playing. So
yeah, so yeah. There's still the power-up drops. You know, those are the traditional things that zombies has had for a long time now. So you're going to get things like Carpenter, which board up all your windows instantaneously, giving you a few extra seconds of defense. You're going to get things like the nuke that spawns that just wipes out every single zombie on the playing field. And again, these are things that help the player further their experience and get to that next round. Now, the thing about those power-up drops is that they're randomized, so you don't know when they're going to drop. Aside from that, with the souvenir coins, the reason we want you to be able to swap them is there's different formulas for what each combination will make. So we want players to explore kind of putting all of the coins in together, trying all the different various combinations and seeing what they come out with. Now, I mentioned the boombox trap, but there's a lot more to the crafting system that you can get out of that.
Now, I noticed as we were playing, we were starting to like unlock new areas that we could go through and explore. How big is this? It's going to be Spaceland.
This park is massive, man. I mean, this is a legitimate functional theme park with new themes in every section that you go into. And when that was really important for us is that we didn't want you to unlock a room and go into the next room and it look like the last one you just came from.
Right.
So every single area in this park is a different color palette, is a different play style, has different park attractions that may be passive traps or active traps that the player has to pay in-game cash to activate. There's different weapons in each space. They all play inherently differently. And so as an example, we have one location in the park. It's the big Triton Ice Mountain. There's a ride in there called Polar Peaks. It's a roller coaster that you can actually get on that roller coaster. Two players can get on it, ride it at the same time. And it's almost sort of like a laser tag shooting gallery experience. So there's these targets that pop up all throughout that experience. And so let's say the two of us are on that ride. We're now competing to get as many targets as we possibly can. When you get off the ride, you're going to be rewarded park tickets for your performance. Now, whoever did the best obviously is going to get the most amount of tickets. And those tickets are just one more layer of what we provide players to help them sort of up their arsenal. So with those park tickets, you can go to souvenir stations all throughout the park, trade in your park tickets, and you can get some really powerful goodies. So it can upgrade your grenades. So you might get a different type of grenade. You might get something that can help all the players. So we have things like the transponder that you can throw down. It opens up sort of a black hole, teleports you someplace else on the map. There's a lot of different goodies that you can get. And these are, like I said, this is just one more layer of that onion that you can peel back and kind of experience a little greater arsenal.
Okay. And this is Call of Duty. So what's the weapon variety like? How many weapons are we looking at?
Well, there's a ton of weapons in this mode. We're pulling a bunch of stuff from the campaign mm-hmm. and from multiplayer. There's some fantastic weapons from those modes that we just felt as we were kind of building it, you know, whatever feels fun to kill zombies with, it's coming into the game. The sky's the limit for us. But there's also weapons that you won't see in campaign or multiplayer that are only in zombies. I don't know if you guys had a chance to experience it, but we also have the axe, which is a up close and personal melee weapon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's the Forge Freeze, which you can freeze zombies with and then walk up to them, melee them, and shatter them into pieces. We also have the Spaceland Zappers, which are they're weapons that require some assembly. So you'll need to find some parts. You might have to perform some very specific actions within the park. But putting those weapons together gets you some really powerful weaponry. One is called the Discord. And when you zap zombies with it, they go into a windmill breakdancing move.
Yeah, and this is four-player online co-op?
Four-player online co-op. And then two-player local.
That was my next question. Yeah. So there's two-player local co-op. Okay. Anything?
Yeah. How happy are you, man, that finally the gamers are going to, you know, play this game during the event? And they're also going to check out the laser tag section, too. That's pretty cool. That's similar to your game. So
for us, this is a dream come true. You know, we've been working on this thing for a long time now, and we've had to keep it under wraps as, you know,
that's the hard part.
Yeah. We wanted this to be a big surprise for fans to say, oh, wow, there's a Call of Duty in an Infinity Ward game. We didn't expect that. So before we could even make that announcement, you know, we had it under a specific code name and, you know, we couldn't talk to family and friends about it. So this is, you know, finally we're able to sort of pull the curtain back and say, hey, look at this thing that we've all been pouring our lives into for the last few years. And to let fans get their hands on it, especially early, this has never happened before. Traditionally, zombies is the game comes out, that's when you get to check it out. Mm-hmm. But Call of Duty XP is a really special event, man. This is, you know, fans get a chance to come out, get a first look at the experience. There's all these cool events going on. Like you mentioned the laser tag, there's the zip line, there's all these things going on. And since this is our first endeavor into doing a zombies experience, we felt like it was the right thing to do to let people see that we know what we're doing. This is going to be a really awesome experience. It's going to be different than anything you've ever played before in a Call of Duty Zombies experience. And we're so confident that we were willing to let people get their hands on it ahead of time.
Well, that brings me to my final question. Again, this is my first time playing a zombie game. I've known about it for years, but I had a lot of fun. We had a blast. I think we were all just had a smile on our face the entire time we played it, which brings me to this. Just your own personal thoughts. What do you think about this going to be its own standalone series and just break away from being a part of Call of Duty?
Well, I can't speak for the brand. I can't say what'll happen with zombies. What I can say that this is big enough to be an experience you can enjoy just on its own. You know, for the fan that just comes into Infinite Warfare and is a Zombies player, because there are those fans that they dive in for campaign. They're just campaign, or they're just multiplayer, or they're just Zombies, or they're the fan that plays everything. This is built to be something that satisfies that person that is going to dive into Zombies, want to tear it apart, and just kind of discover every single little thing within it. There's tons in there for everyone to explore, mm-hmm. and it's a deep, rich experience. There's a lot that you'll see here today, but there's even more that you guys won't even get a chance to experience yet.
See, this is a pretty cool time now because, you know, Stranger Things came out a couple months ago, and now The Get Down, and now look, Zombies, old 80s, late 70s, right?
That's absolutely.
It's one of my favorite eras, man.
Yeah, so same that's here. Cool.
So how was it working also for like the soundtrack, music in the game? How was that?
Well, the soundtrack for anything, whether it, you know, if it's going to be a movie or a game, I think is super important. It helps us really solidify that 1980s feel. Mm-hmm. We have a very rich soundtrack that kind of touches on every single genre that you can possibly think of from the 80s, whether it's going to be, you know, classic hip hop to rap to rock. Mm-hmm. There's a little something for everybody in there. The park DJ, David Hasselhoff's going to be spinning those tracks up, and you'll get some pretty funny lines out of him doing that.
That's pretty cool, man. All right, for more information about the game, where the gamers could to go.
Call of Duty.com.
There you go. All right, thanks a lot, man.
You got it.